Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I remember saying to her, "Mum, how am I going to know that you're still with me, you know, when you go?" And we were both in tears, and she said to me, "My girl, you will know."
You're listening to The Ghost Files, the podcast where everyday people share their extraordinary experiences of the spirit world. I'm your host, Karina Machado. I'm a journalist and author who's been telling true ghost stories, stories of mysteries and marvels, since 2009. On this show, you'll hear all about hauntings, apparitions, visitations from late loved ones, and many other life-altering spiritual experiences. What can an encounter with the dead teach us about living? You'll find out on The Ghost Files. Before we get into today's episode, I'd like to thank everyone who's taken the time to rate the show and leave us a review. Shout out to DJ1111, who's had many experiences and is so grateful that these stories are being shared and discussed in a positive way. Thanks also to Tanya, who wrote, "Welcome to my world." Love that, Tanya. And thanks also to Tin Forest, who can't listen to the show with the lights off, but loves it anyway. And to Lily, who says this is the best supernatural podcast she's come across. Wow, that's wonderful to hear. Thank you all so much to all of our listeners. Today, my guest is Michelle, who's been fascinated with the spirit world since she was 8 years old and discovered an old board game called ESP in the back of a wardrobe. Over her life, certain experiences have stood out, but none were as powerful and life-changing as the one she's going to share with us today. Here's Michelle to tell us the story of a dream she had following her mum's passing in 2012, a dream that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that her beloved mum is still with her. Welcome to The Ghost Files, Michelle.
Thanks, Karina. It's nice to be here.
Now, before we get into your experiences, could you please just tell us a little about who you are?
I'm a almost 50-year-old woman, I guess. I'm in the big year this year, and I live in New South Wales with my husband, and I've got two children, and there's a 10-year difference between them, and I've also got two stepchildren as well. So for my part of the family, I have the youngest child and the oldest child, and then in between are my stepson and my stepdaughter. And, yeah, we live a fairly quiet life in an area that's lovely, and I guess I'm just an ordinary woman, really, Karina.
Ordinary but extraordinary stories, as I like to speak about on the show. Michelle, your curiosity about the spirit world was piqued when you were a little kid of around 8 years old and you discovered this obscure board game tucked away in a wardrobe somewhere. Tell us about that.
I did, Karina. I was around about 8 or 9 years old, quite possibly a little bit younger. I don't have a very clear recollection of that, but what I do have a very clear recollection of is I found this board game in my brother's wardrobe, actually, but it was in there with a number of other board games. That's where they were kept, and it was called ESP. And it was a board that, you know, when you opened it up, there were a number of colours and numbers and that sort of thing on them. There was a pendulum. There was a deck of cards, if I remember correctly. It was called ESP. And I recall sitting on the floor in the bedroom with the bedroom door closed, because I'm not 100% certain that I was allowed to be playing this game. But I remember sitting on the bedroom floor with the door closed, and I remember remember holding the pendulum and trying to guess certain colours and numbers and that sort of thing that would be in the next card that I turned over, that sort of thing.
And what do you think it was about this game that captivated you so much?
I don't know. I remember being enthralled by the idea that I could just guess in my head what the next card was going to be, and I'd turn it over and it was that card. And, you know, that's not to say that happened 100% of the time, but there were many, many times that it did. And I was like, wow, how is this happening sort of thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it was the excitement of the kind of the possibilities that this game hinted at, you know, in this mysterious world that's out there.
I think so. And to be fair, probably the fact that I was playing it behind a closed door as well. So that's probably got a little bit to do with it too. I was, you know, even then I had the sense that I was probably doing something that Mum wouldn't be overly happy about.
So, Michelle, the story that you're about to share with us moves us forward in your life to 2012 when your mum passed away.
Yes.
Now, could you share with us a little about your mum, your relationship, and how you navigated this challenging period of your life, losing your mum?
Yeah, well, Mum and I, we've been described actually as two peas in a pod, Mum and I. And what I really loved about, there are a number of things I really loved about my mum, but she was not afraid to show the juvenile in her. You know, and when I say we're two peas in a pod, I can, even at almost 50 years of age, I can be very juvenile at times. I like, you know, the practical joke and all those sorts of things. But Mum, look, I guess we weren't always very close. There was a time during my teenage years where our relationship was quite tumultuous. And I don't think that is so uncommon. You know, I think that there's plenty of mothers that have a tumultuous relationship with their teenage daughters. But as I moved into my early 20s, we became very, very close. And, you know, we would love to spend time together when we could, you know, I had my son in my early 20s. I was 25 at the time that I had him. So Mum was always there. You know, she was a sounding board. She'd be the first person that I would pick the phone up to if there was an issue or if I was unsure as a young mother. And she was always there, and her word to me and her, she would relay her experiences to me, and to me they were gospel. That, you know, she was my mum. She'd been there, she'd done it, she knew it, and she had a lot of knowledge to pass on. So as I grew into my, you know, my 20s and then my 30s, we were very, very close, very close.
Okay. So did your mum share your interest in the spirit world, and what were her beliefs surrounding that?
Absolutely. We absolutely shared, you know, we shared the belief that the soul continued on after physical death. And we spoke of that on many occasions. And the last occasion I recall speaking to Mum about that was when she was sick in hospital, and there was a period of time where Mum was sick quite often over the years, and she would be in hospital, and I do recall having a conversation with her. I think would probably be maybe around 2009, perhaps, one of the stints that she was in hospital, and I had a conversation. It was a very teary conversation with her, and you know, I recall saying to her, Mum. And neither of us wanted to talk about an impending death or anything like that. It was a word we didn't want to use. You know, much like people don't like to sit down and make out a will and that sort of thing. It's almost like if we talk about it, it's going to happen. So it's, I guess it's kind of a little bit like, you know, sticking your head in the sand a bit. But I remember sitting there looking at her and thinking, I need to ask her, I need to know for myself, I guess, my own insecurities. And I remember saying to her, Mum, how am I going to know that you're still with me, you know, when you go? And we were both in tears, and she said to me, my girl, you will know. that for me was enough.
My girl, you will know. That's, yeah, very profound words, and indeed your story bears that out. Now, let's move on to that story. And it was an extraordinarily evidential dream that you had, Michelle.
Yeah.
Please tell us about it, when it happened in terms of the chronology of mum passing, and also just give us the background that has to do with your little girl. And she was obsessed with collecting something in particular, and this popped up in the dream. So...
Yeah, she was, Corina. In the years immediately prior to mum's passing, and as I said, mum passed in May 2012. So in the years immediately prior to her passing, my daughter was in preschool. And at that time, she had this uncanny fascination with collecting rocks. And when I say rocks, you know, they could be any type of rock. It could be a coarse rock, it could be a large rock, a small rock, a shiny rock, anything. And she would collect them, and she would bring them home from preschool, and you know, she would bring them home in her pockets, and I'd have to, you know, just as on a side note, I'd have to fish through her pockets before I put her clothes in the washing machine, and there were times that I did miss it. So less impressed with her storage choices for her rocks, I was. But, yeah, she loved them, Corina, and she would paint some of them also at preschool before she brought them home. Now, there are a number of those rocks that, you know, I probably should be ashamed to say that got disposed of by me, but, you know, but there was one in particular that she handed to me when she came home from preschool one day, and it was one that she'd painted, and I'd say medium sized. It was shiny, and yeah, she'd painted it, and she handed it to me when she came home from preschool one day, and I kind of looked at it and did the, oh, you know, darling, that's, you know, monkey is my, oh, monkey, that's beautiful. Thank you. And it ended up on the windowsill. I just placed it on the windowsill, and I didn't even think about it again. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I don't think I won Mother of the Year that year, because I didn't even really take too much notice of it. I just put it on the windowsill, and there it stayed for at least a couple of years before Mum passed. And the moment that the time that I put that rock on the windowsill, I had absolutely no idea. No inkling whatsoever about just what a treasure it was. And so that's to give you a little bit of background. So, Mum, as I said, Mum passed in May 2012, and I've told you that we shared the same beliefs in relation to the soul living on. So at the time that she passed, although devastated, I was fairly okay with the fact that, you know, I would hear from her again.
And she had told you as much as well.
Yeah. So, I was okay with that. So I waited, and through the grieving process, I got to about 3 months down the road, and I was still very devastated. I was still grieving the loss of Mum, and I'd had nothing from her in that 3 month period, absolutely nothing, and it scared me, to be honest with you, because it made me sit down and I started to second guess my beliefs, and I started, I guess, panicking. Now, when I say panicking, I don't mean I was a wreck, or I wasn't coping with the day to day, but there was certainly a sense of panic, internal panic, like you know, oh my God, like what if there is nothing afterwards? What if it's all just, you know, and that kind of panic. And having said that, I should have known better, because I'd been to a medium in the years previous to that, and she'd told me things that she could not have otherwise have known, other than being connected to one of my soul connections in spirit. So, but I guess in the panic, that sort of, you know, that sort of clouded that, and I started to panic internally. So I recall one night before going to bed, I put the call out to Mum, and I just, you know, I said to her, Mum, please, if you're there, just send me something, give me something, let me know that you're there. So I went to bed that night, and My God, she did let me know she was there. I had a dream, which, you know, probably when I describe it, it'd be quite unremarkable, really. But it was a dream that I was standing at the edge of a sporting field. It was some type of sporting field, an open field. And on the ground directly in front of me, I could see that there was a small area that had been cordoned off. And I knew, and I say knew, and I emphasize that because it was just a knowing, and that's the only way I can describe it to you. I knew that that area was some type of memorial. I had no idea what for, but I knew it was a cordoned off memorial area. And I knew also that what I was experiencing, this dream, had something to do with Mum. So I had a clear knowing as I was in the dream that it was something to do with Mum. Anyway, I noticed on the ground inside the cordoned off memorial area, there was an object on the ground, and I, again, a very clear knowing, I knew that there was an expectation of me to take particular note of that object. So I looked closer and I saw that the object was in fact the rock that I've just described to you that that was sitting on the windowsill, the kitchen windowsill. I knew that it was that rock, the one that my daughter had painted and brought home from preschool. And I recall actually standing there in the dream and thinking to myself at the time, what the hell? What is that doing here? But having said that, I knew without question the expectation that I am to take particular note of that rock. There's no way I could have fobbed that off, because that expectation, it was almost like I was wearing it like a cloak. I just knew I needed to take notice of it. I knew that it was of the utmost importance. I didn't know why. Anyway, that's about it as far as the dream goes. I woke up, and I recall when I woke up, I was like, what the hell? What the hell was that all about? Anyway, I got out of bed. It got the better of me, and I got out of bed, and I walked into the kitchen. And as I walked into the kitchen, I did look towards the windowsill, and I looked straight at that painted rock. As I said, you know, been sitting there for a long time, at least a couple of years, hadn't moved, and I really hadn't taken any notice of it apart from, you know, the day that it was handed to me and I sat it on the windowsill. Anyway, as I walked towards the windowsill, Karina, I was looking at the rock, and it hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw it. I stood looking at it for ages, and I was like, no, this isn't happening. This I'm only seeing this because I want to see this. Do you know what I mean? And what I was seeing was that at the time that my daughter had painted the rock, the paint had run down the sides of it, and those runs had dried along with the rest of the paint. And as they dried, they retained their shape and their form. Now, at the time that I put the rock on the windowsill, I'd actually placed it upside down so that the runs of the paint were actually facing up. And in that position, as I was standing there looking at it, the runs of the paint actually appeared as though they were spelling out the word Mum in cursive style writing. And as I said, I stood there looking at it, and I was just like, No, Michelle, that's not right. This is, you know, you're making this up, sort of thing. And I stood there looking at it for a while, and in the end it got the better of me, and I picked it up, and I recall being so careful when I picked it up, because I didn't want to rub any of that paint off. I picked it up, and I took it back into the bedroom where my husband was sleeping. And I didn't wake him up. I waited for him to wake up. And when he woke up, I didn't tell him anything about the dream that I'd had. I simply held the rock up to him, and I just said to him, can you see anything written on this rock? And he looked at it only for a few seconds before he said, oh, only the word Mum where the paint's run. I was like, my God. And I was, you know, I was in my head, I was, thanks, Mum. Like, I'll get you loud and clear. I'm reading you loud and clear. Thank you.
Michelle, did this assuage that sense of panic and grief that had risen up in you the night before? Were you now relieved?
100%. 100%. And relieved and probably a little bit disappointed in myself for doubting. But, you know, as I said, I think that's part of the grief.
And, Michelle, what I'd like to say here to all the listeners is that you kindly sent me the photograph of the rock, and I was getting goosebumps as you were describing that moment where you realised that it's spelt Mum in cursive, because it absolutely does. And if you permit me, I will share that photo on my Facebook page and however we can do it. It is amazing.
I'm happy for you to do that.
Oh, thank you, Michelle, because it is such a major part of your story for the audience to be able to see. But I'd just like to interject and vouch for the photo because it is absolutely extraordinary.
It really blew me away. It really did. As I say, to the point where I stood there basically arguing with myself. You're not seeing it. Yes, I am. You're not, you know, that sort of thing. Don't be ridiculous, Michelle.
Now, amazingly enough, your mum went on to visit you again in a dream. And this time it was a very different dream, and she had something very specific for you to do. Now, could you share this story as well? Because it is just amazing.
Yeah, so this one was in around, I keep a diary and a journal of all these sorts of otherworldly things that have happened to me over the years, and this one I've written in my journal was around January 2016. And again, the dream as such didn't have too much content in it, but Mum was in the dream. She was not very prominent in the dream, but again, it was a knowing that this is Mum. Mum's here, and she was giving me a phone number, so a normal 8-digit landline phone number, and she was saying it to me in the dream. And again, the expectation on me, I knew to be, Michelle, you must remember this. You must remember this phone number. So there was a very clear expectation to me and a knowing in the dream that, the expectation was you will remember this number. So she was giving me the number in the dream, saying it over and over again, and I was saying it back to her in the dream over and over again. And on waking, I was still saying the number over and over in my mind, and again, it got the better of me, and I got up out of bed. And I went into the lounge room and I picked up my iPad and I Googled the phone number. And the phone number actually came up to, and I've got to say, but as I tell you this, that phone number was absolutely unknown to me. It wasn't a number that I knew. So I Googled the phone number, and it actually came up to a person that has the same surname as my maiden name, so my mum's married name, and they lived in the same suburb that I had lived in prior to moving in with my husband.
Michelle, I've got goosebumps again. That is amazing.
And I was like, what? What? And I almost fell off the lounge. It was like, my God, this is incredible.
Did you ring the number?
I did. I did ring the number, and I got a, I got an answering machine, and I freaked out. I thought, you know, what are you doing, Michelle? This is what kind of message can you leave on this phone that isn't going to sound even remotely crazy? So I hung up, and I will ring it again one day. I know I will, and I will get up the courage to speak to the person. But I need to, I need to think about what I'm going to say, because I don't want to, can you imagine receiving that sort of phone call?
I just, you know, the mind boggles, really. There's any kind of direction that this can go in. But if we unpack it to think what was so important about you connecting with this person that it would actually, you know, make your mum give you this chore to do from beyond the grave. I mean, it's just
incredible
and beyond imagining, really.
I have tossed around the idea that perhaps she was making me aware of a relative or a connection to relatives. In recent years, I've tried desperately to search my ancestry, particularly in relation to my father, and I constantly come up with brick walls. So I have actually, you know, tossed around the idea: is, you know, was she alerting me to the fact that there's a relative there? Connection, a familial connection. But I'll get the courage up one day to ring again. But yeah, I wasn't prepared for. I didn't. It was one of those things you do when you just don't think about. You know, you don't think about the different scenarios. Well, what am I going to do if it's an answering machine? It was just like, oh my God.
And yes, I mean it certainly could be a family member because, as you said, it's your mum's. Your mum's maiden name, did you say?
So my maiden name, so Dad's surname.
Right. Oh, okay, your maiden name. Okay,
yeah.
Right.
And mum's married name, so Dad's surname, yeah.
Extraordinary, extraordinary. Mm. So, wow, I just marvel. Well, when you do just chalk up the courage to make that call, please let me know.
I will.
Because I'll be waiting. So I guess, Michelle, to sum up, what can an encounter with the dead teach us about living?
Well, for me, Karina, it's taught me. Well, I guess it's sort of solidified for me that the soul connection, the people that we have soul connections with, will continue on. They do continue on. They are there. They're around us. We're anchored by love. And I guess also that if we can, I guess strive's not the right word, but if we can think about living our higher purpose, you know, what is our higher purpose individually, what is our higher purpose, and are we living it, or how can we live it? You know, how can we be true to that? And do the best that we can, or do good for others. Well, for me, it's what can I do? What about this? Can I develop, or can I do to help others to realize that, hey, this is not it. This is not the be all and end all. You know, life's not the day-to-day, the nitty-gritty, the, you know, just the daily grind. It's not just about that. There's so much more.
There's so much more. And I have a sense perhaps that maybe what we're all going through globally at the moment with this COVID-19 crisis is certainly a call to remember that and to think about the more that there is, you know, so much more.
Yep, 100%. Okay. I totally agree. I couldn't agree with you more, actually, in relation to that.
And I love what you've shared with us today, and certainly you've painted a picture of how these experiences can enrich our lives and enrich the lives of others as well. And I love what you said, that we're anchored by love and our soul connections are anchored in love. That's a really beautiful thing to say, and I think it's a lovely note to end on. So thank you so much, Michelle, for spending time with us on The Ghost Files today.
You're very welcome, Karina. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Ghost Files. If you love the show, leave us a 5-star rating and review, and tell a friend.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.